And welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist himself, the one and only Mickey Fult. Mickey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Rob. And you?
Not too bad, thanks. We're going to continue our conversation from several weeks ago, Mickey, a uranium-focused discussion. Let's kick off this one with a bit of a review. Production of uranium, how it corresponds with market demand, and of course, price. What is your assessment of market conditions today?
Well, Rob, the world mine production figures recently came out for 2009. There was about 132 million pounds produced from mines last year, and that's basically about 70% of demand, something 65-70% of demand. But the thing I noticed is the following countries and the amount of world mine supply that they are delivering. Number one country is Kazakhstan, which is significantly increasing its production year over year. Number five is Russia. Number six is Niger. Number seven is Uzbekistan. And number nine in world mine production is the Ukraine. So if you add all these up, this is about 48% of world mine supply in 2009.
Should investors be concerned about that? You rattled off a list of countries that I guess you could say don't have the greatest reputation for stability and whatnot, Mickey.
Well, I would agree with that wholeheartedly, Rob. The Western world is becoming increasingly dependent on emerging market countries for the most part, which have corruption issues. They are unstable and or they are unfriendly to the West, and we are increasingly dependent on these countries for our uranium supply in the developed world. With 59 new reactors currently under construction, somewhere 56 to 59, you get different numbers. We're looking in 2010-2020 projections of something year over year increase in demand of 2-5%. And a lot of these variations depend on how much is taken down in initial orders for new reactors.
Now, according to UX Consulting, Mickey, global production of uranium oxide concentrate jumped about 16% last year. And I think these numbers really back up what you were saying. So global production of uranium oxide concentrate up 16% last year. 80% of that increase was Kazakhstan. So
that's correct, yeah, and it's a little bit scary. You know, Kazakhstan, arguably one of the most corrupt governments on the planet. It has, over the past year, made waves about increasingly nationalizing the uranium business. What we see in Kazakhstan with this tremendous growth is they've gone out and acquired the low-hanging fruit, and they're financing technology and labor and sulfuric acid shortages looming on the horizon. So it's a bit scary right there. Other countries, the Russians supplied 13% of the world through their conversions of high enriched uranium to low enriched uranium last year. U.S., that was 45% of our supply. Other countries, which we mentioned in this, Niger, they had a coup in February. They are last ranked in the world on what's called the Human Development Index, which is basically a combination of life expectancy, literacy, adequate food and water, and GDP. 72% of their exports are uranium, and 40% of that of France's supply comes from Niger.
Okay, so you've outlined a story which, from an investing point of view, would appear to indicate to me, and this is just one side of the story, that, boy, oh boy, this can be an unpredictable area of the market in which to invest because of the political instability and because of the state of governments in a lot of these countries that produce a lot of this uranium. There is a flip side, though, thankfully, Mickey, and that is people can avoid this part of the world. They don't have to go to Central Asian countries if they want to invest in the uranium market, correct?
Well, that's correct, Rob, and I definitely tend not to do that. So for me, and speculating in junior resource stocks. I will accept geopolitical risk for gold companies because that's where the world's largest and giant gold deposits are going to be found, in emerging market countries where geologists have not trod every meter of ground before. But in the uranium sector, in speculating in junior resource stocks, I definitely avoid these emerging market countries. I like to speculate in companies that have projects, and those are generally advanced projects or development projects in current and past producing districts in North America.
You like to keep your money at home, Mickey, in North America. Whereabouts in North America are the best places? There's the Athabasca Basin in Saskatchewan, massive area, 100,000 kilometers, square kilometers in size. What about the U.S.?
Well, certainly I'm involved with, as a shareholder, with a couple of companies in the Athabasca Basin, and those are companies that have made recent discoveries or have drilled some recent drill holes that indicate there will be a discovery soon. In the U.S., I like companies that are in the old past producing or currently producing districts in Wyoming, New Mexico, and South Texas. These are districts that understand, areas that understand uranium mining, have mined in the past, and presumably they will be easily permitted in the future. And that's the key, because in these uranium districts, from discovery to mine is generally a long, drawn-out affair, so you want to make sure you're involved with companies that are advanced explorers or in development and can have a reasonable assurance that they will be able to develop their deposit.
Okay, and certainly there are probably not a great number of companies that meet your criteria, but certainly the number of companies to sift through to really get the good fruit in the basket, there are quite a few. I don't know how many are in the Athabasca Basin, but there are, I think, literally hundreds of companies exploring in that part of the world, aren't there, alone?
Well, there's certainly a number of companies, but I'm very specific about the ones that I'm involved with, and those are the ones that have made shallow discoveries or have indications that they will make relatively shallow discoveries. And if people are really interested in the companies that I'm invested in, there's they're the companies I cover and the companies that I talk about in interviews specifically, and that's all available on my website, so mercenarygeologist.com.
Okay, one area that we didn't touch on, and we should perhaps, I'd like to get your opinion on this because it was certainly a major news event recently, and that is the World Nuclear Summit. U.S. President Barack Obama setting a goal of, I guess, over the next 4 years, converting all excess heavy uranium concentrate into light uranium concentrate. Is that correct?
That's correct. So Obama's dream, or it's probably more like a fantasy, but it's an admirable goal, and that's exactly to take weapons-grade uranium, which is about 85% uranium-235, and convert that to low-enriched uranium. And that's generally for light water reactors, and that's going to be 3-4% U-235. There's about 2,000 tons, it is thought, of high-enriched uranium, plutonium, weapons-grade material that the world has set a goal to convert in 4 years. What this has done is it sprung deals as the U.S. and the Russians where this material will basically go. So you see the U.S. Going for deals in Korea and India and Chile and Ukraine, and working on deals with to develop uranium industry in Vietnam. You see the Russians making deals with Argentina and Mongolia and Australia. Mongolia is a bit of an interesting thing because the Mongolian government's essentially nationalized a Canadian junior's project there, and made a deal with the Russians. So there's a lot of geopolitical intrigue going on in the uranium business right now, and that's why I prefer to stay close at home in the uranium business.
Okay, well, a difficult situation in one part of North America, but at least it is up front with where it stands, and that is British Columbia. There's a moratorium in place.
That there is, mm-hmm. And that's another reason why I tend to stay at home in the Athabasca, although it takes very long lead times to develop deposits in the Athabasca. You're fairly assured that if you find something of significance, you're going to be able to develop it. And I also stay away from Quebec in that regard. You know, Quebec is mining friendly, but these deposits in Quebec are very low grade, and there is no history of uranium mining in Quebec.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up on that note. We're going to be back a few weeks from now. Mickey, what do you want to focus on?
I think we're going to revisit the copper industry. You know, we started our show off a couple of months ago, mm-hmm. Or actually, I guess it's 3 months ago now, Rob.
Yeah.
Time flies. By assessing the copper market, we'll reassess that. And by that time, we'll have completed a field trip to a copper project in Peru, and maybe we'll get some insight on where we think copper is going to go in the near to midterm.
Okay, look forward to it. Mickey, travel safe. We'll talk to you in a few weeks.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
That is Mickey Folt, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.